and the section is how are healing and atonement related? How are healing and atonement related? Hey, buddy. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and read the whole section, and then after I read the whole section, then we'll come back and we'll discuss it. Because Wednesday, I see Wednesday is more of a discussion group, because we used to have a much smaller group of people on Wednesday, so we get a chance to talk a little bit more, which is good. How are healing and atonement related? On page 55 of the Manual for Teachers. Healing and atonement are not related. Healing and atonement are identical. There is no order of difficulty in miracles because there are no degrees of atonement. Atonement is the one complete concept possible in this world because it is the source of a wholly unified perception. Partial atonement is a meaningless idea, just as special areas of hell in heaven are inconceivable. Accept atonement and you are healed. Atonement is the word of God. Accept God's word and what remains to make sickness possible. Accept God's word and every miracle has been accomplished. To forgive is to heal. The teacher of God has taken accepting the atonement for himself as his only function. What is there then that a teacher of God cannot heal? What miracle could be withheld from a teacher of God? The progress of a teacher of God may be slow or rapid, depending on whether the teacher of God recognizes the atonement's inclusiveness or for a time excludes some problem areas from the atonement. In some cases, there is a sudden and complete awareness of the perfect applicability of the lesson of atonement to all situations, but this is comparatively rare. The teacher of God may have accepted the function God has given the teacher of God long before the teacher of God has learned all that the teacher of God's acceptance holds out to the teacher of God. It is only the end that is certain. Anywhere along the way, the necessary realizations of inclusiveness may reach the teacher of God. If the way seems long, let the teacher of God be content. The teacher of God has decided on the direction the teacher of God wants to take. What more was asked of the teacher of God? And having done what was required, would God withhold the rest? That forgiveness is healing needs to be understood if the teacher of God is to make progress. The idea that a body can be sick is a central concept in the ego's thought system. This thought that the body can be sick gives the body autonomy, separates the body from the mind, and keeps the idea of attack inviolate. If the body could be sick, atonement would be impossible. A body that can order a mind to do as the mind sees fit, a body that can order a mind to do as the body sees fit can merely take the place of God and prove salvation is impossible. What then is left to heal? The body has become Lord of the mind. How could the mind be returned to the Holy Spirit unless the body is killed? And who would want salvation at such a price? Certainly sickness doesn't appear to be a decision, nor would anyone actually believe that he wants to be sick. Perhaps he can accept the idea in theory, but it is rarely, if ever, consistently applied to all specific forms of sickness, both in the individual's perception of himself and of all others as well. Nor is it at this level that the teacher of God calls forth the miracle of healing. The teacher of God overlooks the mind and body, seeing only the face of Christ shining in front of him, correcting all mistakes and healing all perception. Healing is the result of the recognition by God's teacher who it is that is in need of healing. This recognition has no special reference. It is true of all things that God created, and in it are all illusions healed. When a teacher of God fails to heal, it is because the teacher of God has forgotten who he is. Another sickness thus becomes his own. In allowing this to happen, the teacher of God has identified with another's ego and has thus confused the other with the body. And in so doing, the teacher of God has refused to accept the atonement for himself and can hardly offer it to his brother in Christ's name. He will, in fact, be unable to recognize his brother at all. For his father did not create bodies, and so he is seeing in his brother only the unreal. Mistakes do not correct mistakes, and distorted perception does not heal. Step back now, teacher of God. You have been wrong. Lead not the way, for you have lost the way. Turn quickly to your teacher, the Holy Spirit, and let yourself be healed. The offer of atonement is universal. It is equally applicable to all individuals in all circumstances, and in the atonement is the power to heal all individuals of all forms of sickness. Not to believe this is to be unfair to God and thus unfaithful to God. A sick person perceives himself as separate from God, which you see the sick person as separate from you. It's your task to heal the sense of separation that made the sick person sick. It is your function to recognize the sick person, that what he believes about himself is not the truth. It is your forgiveness that must show him this. Healing is very simple. Atonement is received and offered. Having been received, atonement must be accepted. It is in the receiving, then, that healing lies. All else must follow from this single purpose. Who can limit the power of God himself? Who then can say which one can be healed of what, and what must remain beyond God's power to heal or forgive? This is insanity, indeed. It's not up to God's teachers to set limits on God, because it's not up to God's teachers to judge God's Son. And to judge God's Son is to limit his Father. Both are equally meaningless. Yet this will not be understood until God's teacher recognizes that they're the same mistake. And herein does he receive atonement. Because the teacher of God withdraws his judgment from the Son of God, accepting the Son of God as God created him. No longer does he stand apart from God, determining where healing should be given and where it should be withheld. Now the teacher of God can say with God, "This is my beloved Son or creation, created perfect and forever so." This section is loaded. It's a lot in there. And we can get through it. It wouldn't be hard to get through it if we took two attitudes. One is, don't compare it to what you already think. That's what always slows people down. They try to take the course and they try to fit it into what they already believe. So just for an hour, just suspend what you already believe. Be willing to think the impossible. The other part of it is to realize that the teacher's manual and the workbook are giving you the overall thought system. It's the workbook, the text and the teacher's manual are giving you the overall thought system, and it's the workbook that makes everything that the course is talking about happen. So it's not going to be from listening to what we're saying that you're going to necessarily be able to practice any of it. It's like, let me tell you what the thought system is saying. And then the workbook goes, and this is how you make it real. So if we listen to it from that perspective, it'll make sense. Listening to this is not going to make us necessarily be able to do it or even understand. It's the workbook that does that. So unless a person does the workbook, it's very difficult to actually see the things that the course talks about actually manifest. Even though many people try it all the time and they get frustrated. So what I'm going to do is save you some time with 26 years of obsession. Each paragraph pretty much has a point that it's trying to make, and I'm just going to try to hit the points of the paragraph. That way we get through the whole thing, okay? The point of paragraph one, the Course in Miracles is constantly giving new definitions for all the terms. So when you hear the word atonement, it means healing. So everywhere you see the word atonement, you could just as easily substitute the word healing. So the Course says healing is the same, is identical. That when you say that you're ready to atone, you're saying that you're ready to heal. Okay, so then it says, if you were to accept the atonement, you would be healed. And then it goes on to say, well, what is the atonement? Like what is the healing? And then it says, well, the healing is the word of God. So if we were to accept the truth that we're hearing, he says every miracle would be accomplished. What is a miracle? The Course says a miracle is a correct perception, right? So if a miracle is a correct perception, and then if I accepted the truth, I would have a miracle, which is a correct perception, because the truth is the correct perception. See, it's really simple, except when the mind tries to mess with you. Okay? The atonement is a healing. A healing is nothing but accepting the Word of God, where the Word of God would be the same as the truth. So when I accept the truth, I'm going to have a miracle. And a miracle is a correct perception. And he says that if you, to forgive is to heal. So when you say that you're ready to forgive, he says you're really saying that you're ready to heal. And then it says, well, the atonement is the same as healing. So therefore, healing is accepting the truth. So every time that I accept the truth, then I have healed my mind. Like, for instance, if the Course in Miracles says everybody in here is an extension of love, which is he calls the Son of God, and I accept that, then I now have a miracle. I now have a correct perception. And since I have a correct perception, my mind is healing. Now, my ego is going to be the part of me that gives me every reason to believe you are not an extension of love. So the ego is just a part of the mind that's going to always say, yes, but. Okay, so as soon as I say something, you hear yes, but. Learn how to go, okay, here goes my ego. Getting ready to try to mess with this because I don't want to accept what I'm hearing right now. I don't want to accept this, so now I need a justification. The justification is going to be, well, that person who robbed me certainly couldn't be a child of God. See, all of those are just excuses not to apply the truth to yourself. Like it says right here. He says, when you, I love this, he says, the teacher of God has taken accepting the atonement for himself as his only function. When, what is that that you can't heal? So if I take accepting the word of God, the atonement, the truth, as my only function, there can't be any thoughts in my mind that I can't heal. Because it's all talking about perception. So the more the truth I accept, the more my perception is corrected, the more my mind heals. But it comes from accepting the truth, not what I have experienced in the past or what I've made up. So my only function is to accept this for me. My function is not to accept this for you or to get you to accept it. My function is to accept that healing is atonement for me, to accept the word of truth for me, to apply to me. To me, 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 to me. I got to apply this to who? To me. Did it say right there that that's your only function? Is not to get my mama to do it, not to get my brother to do it, not to get my dad to do it. It's right on page 55, first paragraph. Very first paragraph on page 55. He says, the teacher of God has taken accepting the atonement for himself as his only function. See, one of the things I love about doing this so long is that I could save people so much time if they listen to me, because I know so much about the tricks that the mind plays on the beginner in the Course in Miracles. But sometimes it's very difficult to do that with adults, because adults feel like just because they're grown, they should understand something just because they read it. And they feel sort of like self-conscious about really listening to what somebody else says. And so the ego loves people like that, because it takes them all the way through the ringer. Because this is a very difficult book to understand the first time you read any of it. So the minute you read something in the Course for the first time and you think you know what you're reading, you're probably wrong. And the way that you know that you're wrong is very simple. You will be upset about what you read. You'll be disoriented. You'll feel a lot of resistance. It means you're not hearing it right. You see what I'm saying? So that's what I used to use when I first got into it, and that's what I advise people. I said, look, if you're reading something and all you feel is anger and upset and frustration, don't think your interpretation of what you're reading is correct. Because if you're really hearing the truth, it makes you feel better. If you're really hearing the truth, it always makes you feel better. It makes you feel like, oh, I don't have as much to do. That it is a little bit easier than what I thought. If you think it's hard, then you're not hearing it right. Your ego is interpreting it. So the first time a person goes through the Course, their ego interprets it. Then they read it again, and their ego less interprets it. And then they read it again, and their ego less interprets it. And then it starts out ego interpretation, Holy Spirit interpretation, Holy ego, Holy Spirit. Then after a while it turns into it's your Holy Spirit, your higher mind interpreting it, and you get a lot of comfort and joy out of it, and your ego is not so much of an issue. You see what I'm saying? Like now when I read it, it just comforts me completely. I don't read any part of the Course and go, You know, it totally comforts me. When I first read it, it would be, I'd react, you know, it would be like a mixture of both of them. So, yeah, Trish, you have your hand up? Okay. Okay, so everybody kind of clear about the point of the first paragraph is that atonement is healing, and healing is accepting the truth. And if you accept the truth, your perception will be corrected. And so your only job is to accept the truth for yourself. Everybody with that? Okay. Next paragraph. Now, then the next paragraph is really cool. Because then he tells you what makes for rapid progress and what makes for slow progress. Because a lot of people wonder that. Well, what makes for slow progress? Okay. He says, slow progress comes from excluding some areas of your life from the truth. In other words, there are certain situations I apply the truth to, there are certain situations and people I won't apply the truth to. Got that one? I'll say it again. That, you know, it's like, okay, I will accept that, I should accept that freedom is love, but I won't apply it to my partner. I'll accept that forgiveness is the key to happiness, but I won't forgive my sister. You see what I'm saying? What I'm doing is I'm taking some people and I'm applying it to, and I'm taking some people in situations and I'm not applying it to. I hear people do stuff like, well, this feels good in here and it sounds good in here, but if you go out there, then it's a whole different ballgame. So what they do is they try to apply the truth when they're in the class, but when they go out here, it's right back to the adversarial projection, blame, thought system that we all learned in the past. So I separate neatly my outer world from my spiritual world. I make them totally different. And my ego says, well, if you try to apply this to people in the world, they're going to take advantage of you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the first thing the ego says. If you try to apply this to people in the world, they're going to screw you around. Okay, that's the trick. But what am I doing? I am excluding some people from the Word of God. I'm excluding, and then he says right here, he says, now, in some cases, he says, some people have a sudden and complete awareness that you can apply the truth to every situation. It's like some people realize, wow, if I'm giving everything, I see all the meaning that it has for me. If I'm the one that's determining how I feel about everything, then I'm determining how I feel about everything with you, 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 you. When I go to the store, when I go to work, when I deal with my children, I'm still giving it all the meaning it has for me. So some people get, wow, I can apply this to every situation. And then he says, but that's what? Rare. Okay? So don't beat yourself up if you can't apply it to everybody, because he says somebody that applies the truth all the time is rare. Okay? It's rare you're going to meet anybody that practices sanity and forgiveness all the time. It is what? Rare. Okay? Not like something you're eating, but something else. You know, this is rare. Okay? This is rare. Okay? And then the Course says that, look, check it out. He said, you may have accepted your function a long time before you learn what it holds out to you. In other words, I might be trying to do this a long time before I see just how much it's really benefited me. I might set this goal to learn what the Course is saying. He said, but it might be a while before I realize all that I've learned is holding out to me. When I first got into this, I didn't nearly realize the benefits of it like I realize now, even though I thought I realized it then. And he says that one thing that's certain is how it's going to turn out. He says, anywhere along the way, the necessary realization of inclusiveness may reach you. What do you think he means by the necessary realization of inclusiveness? You may have the necessary realization of inclusiveness.
That we become aware that we're all one.
We become aware that we're all included. Just like I said, we're all one. Or that I would apply to everything. You say, somewhere along the line, I'm going to get, oh, Earl, you're creating your perception of reality all the time. You're not just creating your perception of reality sometimes. You're creating it all the time. He says, so then he gives us some advice. So now, if the way seems long,
and it does.
You say, if the way seems long, like you've been doing this a long time, like whole 2 weeks. You know, it's a basic, you know, you talk to people, they be so frustrated, like, how long have you been practicing? Well, it's about a month. And I haven't seen God yet. You know. You see God all the time because God is in your mind. And if God is in your mind, God is going to be in your physical perception because everything in your physical perception is in your mind. So if you want anything in the physical, you have to put it in your mind first, which is deep. Because I was taught just the opposite. I should go out here and make it in the physical. Then it'll be in my mind because I made it in the physical. Now it's there. Now I can think of it being there because I made it there out here. He says it's just the opposite. I have to give myself peace in the mind, and then once I give myself peace in the mind, then I see peace in my physical reality. But but my ego says, yes, but it's impossible. Yeah. Because you got to fix this, and you got to fix that, and you got to fix them, and you got to fix that over there, and you got to fix that over there. Out there.
Some of the best artists are that way. They see the perception in their mind before they paint that picture or make that sculpture.
Exactly. I was thinking about that when you said that because a friend of mine is a sculptor. And I have such admiration for what she does because, and he does too. I know too. Because they just show me this block of granite. And I said, well, you know, how in the world do you do this? And this is what you said. They said, you know, I see it. It's in my mind. I see it in my mind first. Just like Keith does with his paintings. He has to see it in his mind first. Before he can put it on. He said, now the difference is we're just like a painter, right? So Keith paints according to the school of painting that he ascribes to and the style and the form and the other different styles and forms that we could call cultural differences among us, okay? You know, but the difference is Keith paints a painting and hangs it on the wall and we make a painting and we get in it. Okay, we come up with our painting, which is our consciousness, and then we enter the physical reality that our consciousness has made. So it's the same as Keith painting the picture, and then imagine him being able to walk inside the picture he just painted. So he's really walking into a world of his own making. And so that's what the Course is saying. It's saying now, at this level, we're walking into a world of our own making. But the Course takes it a step further than most metaphysical books do. Because most metaphysical books make you think that reality is what you believe. Like you can really have the ability to make reality. And the Course says, you can't make reality. God made reality. What reality is has already been created. What you're making is your personal perspective of reality and living in that. But that's not the ultimate reality. So the Course is trying to get us to see there's an ultimate reality based on love that's beyond anything we can make up and a lot better than anything we can make up. But there are certain rules of thinking that we have to learn in order to perceive that reality. Which means to get there, we have to be willing to allow ourselves to be made indescribably happy.
And by that, it's quieting the mind, listening to the vision within.
That's right. He said, what you do is you have a reality that becomes more and more and more and more loving because your perception is becoming more and more loving. So much so that there's little difference between your perception of reality and the way reality is. For instance, if you were to, pictures always help me out a lot. Like if we was to take love as being green, like, you know, this is reality, right? But right now we are over in orange. So here's green, that's reality, but I'm over in orange. So the enlightenment process would be changing from orange to yellow to green, you know, to the blue to purple until you finally have a perception that is so green that now God, of course, calls us to God taking the last step, and then God merges you into the reality that is green. See, but right now we're in the ego, right? And then here is love, right? And we think we're separate. And the Course has given us perceptions that move us closer and closer and closer and closer to the cup. To the point that he says God can take the last step and we become the cup. Then we are in the reality of love. So that's why it seems so insane to us right now. We're over here in our perception. And then the truth is over here. So it seems crazy. You know, you're telling me about the plant over there, and all I see is the door over there. But it looks like when you tell me about the plant, you're talking folly. What you're saying is, oh man, you just jabbing. That couldn't be true. Everybody knows nothing but doors and woods and steps. See, because I'm looking this way. And the Course is trying to get us to turn our head, which is cool. That's doable. Turning my head is doable. And it's, guess what? And if I turn my head, the pot and the plant's already there. I don't have to make the pot and plant. The pot and plant's there. So when we change our perception, we'll already have the reality that we want. It's already, that's what he's telling us all over and over again. It's already done. We just don't realize it. It's already done. Everything's already done. You know, what created us knows what really would make us happy. But I'm convinced that, you know, it's a trip to Vegas. So if I don't get the trip to Vegas, I walk around miserable all day because I've decided Vegas is my dream. You see what I mean? We make up what we think it is, and then we get mad if it doesn't happen. Which is how you can tell it must not be it. Why? Well, because if it was really what was natural to you, you wouldn't have to work so hard to make it happen. And you certainly wouldn't have to do it all by yourself. Think about it. If it's in divine order, why are you struggling? If it's natural to have love in my life, why don't I see it? I must be doing something unnatural. And you know what it is, according to what we just heard? I'm not including everybody in the truth. I'm not accepting the truth completely yet. And I'm being hard on myself because I've forgotten that he said it was comparatively rare. And that he said that if it takes a long time, he said, what? Be content. He said, you know why? He said, because you've already decided on the direction you want to go in. And he says, that's the only thing the Spirit is asking us to do. It's just to decide on the direction we want to go in. And then it says, everything else will be given us. I'll say it again. All we're being asked to do is decide on the direction we want to go in. That's it. Do you know that the problem with most people is that they haven't made a commitment to the direction? They go back and forth. One minute I want to see myself as innocent. One minute I see myself as guilty. One minute I want to be peaceful. Next minute I want to attack. See, I haven't made a commitment to the direction. See, he says, well, I'm sorry. That's the only thing I'm asking you to do. I'll give you the rest, but you need to make a commitment to the direction. He says, because, he said, what more is asked of you? It's right there. He said, if you've done what was required, he said, God's not going to withhold the rest. So here's the question. What's the one thing that's required based on what we've said so far? Right, thank you. Yeah, decide on the direction that I want to go. And then somebody said, okay, can you break that down for me a little bit more? Yeah. Take accepting the truth for yourself as being your only function. Is that pretty? Is that broken down? You know that. Yeah, what's the problem? Who can tell me the problem with that? Why that doesn't make people jump up and down with joy? Besides being simple. Thank you, Keith. Did everybody hear that?
Say
it again.
It makes us totally responsible.
Yeah, that's the problem with this whole get up.
So the frustration.
Mm-hmm.
I get frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now saying I'm just changing my mind or I'm changing my direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm frustrated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think I'm going in one direction, but I'm really not.
Right.
There's a little self-deception.
Yeah, lies.
There's a lot of
lies.
If I'm frustrated, I'm not listening.
Right.
I'm not slowing down enough to listen.
There you go. I mean, it really is that simple.
That's what you were saying over and over again. I'm the one who has to choose. I
got to choose. I'm the one that has the truth. I love his line anyway. Where he says, the one power we have left to us is the power of decision. He said, that's the last power. He said, if you could picture God beings. Like, the core premise is that we are God beings. We think we're human beings. But our human form is just one expression of our God selves. Just like you got more than one pair of pants in the closet. Okay, one of those pair of pants is just one of your pair of pants. But you don't identify with your pants. But while you got them on, you want to make sure you keep them on in most cases. Now, so while you got them on, you're concerned about your pants. You know what I'm saying? But you don't think they are your pants. And so that's what the Course is saying. You know, we got a human expression, but that's not our only expression. That we're really so much more powerful and unlimited, like that movie, The Secret. Is really just bringing home the idea that thought is creative. And it's a great place to start. That's why it's so popular. But it stops far short of giving the complete picture of how to have peace. Because if you think you're going to have peace just because you can manifest something physically, then you're fooling yourself. But the idea that we can manifest through our thought needs to be introduced to us, because that'll make people begin to see a connection between what they're going through and their thinking. That's the best thing in the world that could happen. That's where we all start. And it's become so big because the consciousness has changed so much that, you know, Oprah is dedicating her whole show today to that, to the secret. So the people who did the secret are going to be on her show today, and the whole thing is about the secret. And I heard on the commercial where she said, that's what I've been trying to get across all these years. And so she's very excited. And I know a couple of the people that's going to be on there personally. And I was thinking last night that their lives are about to change 1,000% today. Did you know that? Their lives will never be the same after today.
Because the consciousness is
in you. Because so many people are going to find out about it, and they're going to want it. And so that DVD that they made, so they're going to have to get a chance to test themselves. They could go from being regular people to multimillionaires after today. Because people are going to want it. They got a product that they're putting out there. So they get a chance to learn a lot about their capacity to receive. They're going to learn a lot about whether or not they're greed, they have greed. They're going to learn whether or not what their purpose is about, how they can handle it. You know, their whole reality is about to shift as a result of this one day. And that's what the Course says about a dream. He says a dream can change in an instant. And that's why it really promotes us looking at this as a dream. Because if you look at it as a dream, you'll never feel trapped. If you look at it as a dream, you'll believe it could change just like that, because we've all had the experience of having dreams. And so we all know that in a dream, anything can happen. So the minute you look at it as a dream, then you all automatically start to see possibilities. The Course says when you look at it as reality, then you think it's something that can't be changed. If it's real, if it's a reality, then it's fixed. This is the way it is. But if I go, this is a dream, then Earl could be poor today, and he could be rich tomorrow, just like the guy who won $340 million in the lottery. And that's what we have to understand. We should never use our past in order to determine what our future can be. I don't care how unsuccessful you've been in relationships in the past, tomorrow you can meet the person that was the perfect person for you to connect with in a relationship. I don't care how unsuccessful you've seen yourself in your career, tomorrow you could have a change of mind that would move you in a direction that would give you everything that you've ever dreamed of. We got to understand that what's good about this reality is that it can change in an instant for the better. Even though our ego always says, yeah, it can change, but for the worse. So people resist change because they think all change is going to take them into a lesser state. You see? So we've learned how to fear change. But really, change is our best friend. Change is the thing that will make us never be locked into any unhappy situation.
And it took 45 years to learn
that. But it's amazing how we resist it. It's like intellectually we'll get it, but then we'll still turn around, and every time something changes, we'll freak out.
Yeah.
You know, I have to constantly remind myself, this church could be gone tomorrow. Me being here could be gone tomorrow. David could choose to go somewhere else. Somebody else could come in, and maybe they wouldn't even want the Course in Miracles here. You know what I'm saying? You can't lock in on anything staying the same. Or it could grow bigger, more people could come, me and David could get closer. You know what I'm saying? It's like it could go in either direction, but what I have to understand is that I'm sustained by the Word of God. I'm sustained by God. That's the only way I'm going to keep my sanity. If I didn't think I was sustained by God, I couldn't do what I do for a living. It would be too frightening to me. You see what I mean? It'd be 20 years this year, and I've never not been taken care of. The people constantly change. So if I got addicted to any certain people taking care of me, I wouldn't be here sitting here today, because nobody stays over a certain period of time. And that's normal. That's natural. That's not a criticism. But I'm just saying, if I looked at it like it was about the people, then I couldn't have any peace every day. Every Monday is a brand new week for me. I never know what my income is going to be from week to week. So when people say they want to go out and do their own thing, they don't realize the level of faith that it takes to do your own thing. And most people who are saying that are always people with jobs. Almost everybody out here is saying, I want to do my own thing. And they don't realize how accustomed they become to that check coming right like clockwork. And so they feel so brave. Yes, I'm ready to be out here on my own. I can do it. I've had, you know what I'm saying? I call it the daring of the satisfied stomach. You know, you're so bold because right now your bills paid, you pretty much got some money coming in. But it's a whole other thing when you step out and you go, hey, God, it's me and you. See, I have to believe. I don't have the luxury like most people to kick back and go, oh, no. I don't think that the creator is You know, because they got other superficial structures that's providing income, so they can sit back and question. But when you have to trust the universe, it's a whole different ball game. And what you'll find out is there really is something out here taking care of you.
Yeah.
You have so many things happen that couldn't be an accident that you'll go, it really is something looking out for me. Especially if you make accepting the truth for yourself your primary function. Okay? So, the Course says, now this next paragraph is really deep. And I'll see if I can hit it pretty quick because there's some other things, this other two I want to see if I can hit too. Well, this time just goes by so fast for me. All right. He says, if you're going to make progress, we need to understand that forgiveness is healing. But let me give you a definition of forgiveness that will make it easy. Forgiveness, he says, means correct perception. So correct perception is healing. It's not overlooking what you think somebody did to you. Okay? So he says that the idea that keeps the ego going the most is that the body can be sick. Okay, he said the idea that keeps the ego going the most is that you are your body and your body can be hurt. That's what keeps fear going the most. Talk to most people, they're doing stuff for their body. Why are they going to work? To feed, house, and shelter their body. What are you worried about getting hindered in a car wreck? Your body. What are you worried about somebody taking advantage of? Your body. You know what I'm saying? So the Course says that the focus on the body is central to the fear, to fear, right? Then he says seeing your body is getting sick on its own, he said, gives autonomy to your body and separates the body from the mind. In other words, when it seems like something is happening to your body that you have no control over, it strengthens the idea that there's no mind-body connection. If it looks like I didn't want a cold, but I got a cold, it looks like my thoughts have nothing to do with my body. So the ego is always trying to make us think our thoughts and feelings have nothing to do with the physical conditions in our life. Which the Course calls the body your perception. It's not just your physical body. When he talks about the body, he's saying, for instance, you think you live inside your body, right? It looks like we're inside our body, right? Okay, but take it a step further. It also looks like you're inside this perception. Mm-hmm. Right? So the Course says, this is your body. This is your body. Oh. It's what you look like you're inside of. And it looks like stuff is happening out here, right? And in here that we don't have any control over. I got the flu, and I can't get rid of it unless I take some medicine. Because my mind cannot heal my body. So I got to get some medicine. All right? So when people try to heal their body through their mind, which many people try to do. I've met many people on New Thought Path to do that. They go, well, I'm not going to take any medicine. And they get sicker and sicker and sicker, right? And the Course says, well, when you try to heal with your mind and you don't succeed, stop. That's what he says. He says, stop. He said, you need to temporarily give belief to something outside yourself. Right. You see what I'm saying? He said, then you can be healed, which is just the opposite of what the average person that's on a spiritual path wants to believe. But he said, well, it's obvious. If you could heal yourself mentally, you would have done it. Okay. So if you've been trying and you don't, he says, why? He said, I love it. He says, the reason why the thing outside yourself will seem to heal you is because you believe that things outside yourself heal you. Yeah. So it's really a very, you know, in other words, the reason why the aspirin works is because, to tell the truth, I believe an aspirin will help my headache. So rather than me sitting up here going, I'm not going to take an aspirin, I'm going to sit up here and I'm going to say an affirmation, I'm not a body until my headache goes away. Now, if you attempt that and your headache stays, stop. If you attempt that and your headache goes, Right on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Why? Because prolonging your suffering only increases the power of your ego.
Yes.
The longer you, the longer you stay in pain, the longer you're gonna focus on your body as being who you are. So staying in the pain is making you believe even more that you're just a body and not a spiritual being. So the sooner as you can get rid of the pain, the sooner you'll take your mind off your body.
So in a way, you're kind of trapping yourself by trying so hard to heal yourself with your mind when you could just so easily take that aspirin and you'd just get over it.
Take your aspirin, get over it, and read.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Take the aspirin, get over it, and do your workbook lesson.
You're tripping yourself up. Trust
all the time.
You're such a healer.
I'm too spiritual to take an Alka-Seltzer.
Ah, that's good.
You know, and so it's like, okay, all you're doing is prolonging the focus on your body, making yourself believe your body even more.
Not only that, that's a simple answer, which is what I would
say. That's the problem with my whole thing, is that everything the book says is simple. And who wouldn't want to get rid of the toothache? It's like, I got a bad toothache, I'm going to secure it into my mind, my toothache is gone. My toothache is gone. And then 3 hours later, your jaw that big. You could have went to the dentist, got the tooth handling, and right now you'd be watching TV tonight. Then you wouldn't be thinking about your body.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would be moving faster toward the spiritual reality rather than less toward the spiritual reality. You know, and I used to do that. I remember so many things I used to do when I first got into metaphysics and New Thought 30 years ago. And I see so many people do the exact same thing. I mean, want to tell them, it's a trick you're playing on yourself. But you know, everybody believes they're special. Everybody believes they're different. So they don't listen. Because the illusion makes us think that we're different. Oh, it might be true for somebody else, but that's not true for me. You know, but we're not different. We're the same. We go through the same stages of growth. And I guess that's why you can't force a child to walk before it's ready. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know the child's going to run one day, but you got to let it crawl. And so I had to learn to take that attitude with people. Because I found when I would try to jump them to make them skip over walking to get straight to the answer, almost always they would never do it. That's why I can say things here about the course and people, and they really be the answer. Like when I said, the next time you feel really bad, remind yourself that it's comparatively rare that people get this all at once. And if you feel like it's taking a long time, be content because you've done a good thing. You've decided on the direction you want to go in. Just pat yourself on the back for just having been going in the right direction. See, that's the truth. But it takes a lot of study for a person to really do that, to just give themselves a break. Okay, so he's talking about here that your ego is trying to convince you that you will not have peace until you destroy your body. And that means things will be better after I die. Got it? Yeah. It's like the ego is trying to make us think everything is better after you die. That the body has control over you, you don't have control over your body. And not only that, you got to kill your body if you ever want to be spiritually free. So then we tell ourselves we can't be connected with source until we get out of our body. So some people think they're not going to have a relationship with God until they die. And the course is saying that's another ego trick. That you don't have to die to experience unlimited bliss and happiness. That's an illusion. You could have it right now, right here, where you are. I love that. I love that idea. That he said, but you got to change your mind about who you are if you want to pull that off. Okay. Then he says, he says, sickness doesn't appear to be a decision. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like that person decided to have cancer. And then he says sickness is any form of lack of peace. So don't just think of it as physical illness. If you can't pay your bills, that's a sickness. You know, if all your relationships are challenging, that's a sickness. And anything that's keeping you from having peace of mind is a sickness. It's not just a physical illness. Sometimes when people come to the course and they have physical illness, it's almost like they feel like the course is picking on them. Or there are people who think because they're physically healthy, they must have how they act together. Well, if I got money and I'm physically healthy, I must obviously be practicing the truth. But, you know, if you go to watch a cartoon and the cartoon character is healthy, and you also see the cartoon character get sick, well, a healthy cartoon character isn't any more real than a sick cartoon character. So the person that thinks they're a body and they're healthy is just as much of an illusion as a person who thinks they're a body and they're sick. They both have an erroneous idea about what they are. Mm-hmm. All right, so as a matter of fact, the person who's healthy and has money is much more likely to keep themselves deceived than the person who's going through pain and conflict who's searching for answers. You know what I mean? You know, you see what I'm saying? So it takes more spiritual focus to actually stay focused on the truth when things are going right than when things are not. Right? So let me give you another little tip. You're going to go through the challenge of having challenges that force you to focus on the truth. In the beginning, you see what needs to be worked on in yourself.
Yeah.
Right? What's going to happen is your ego is going to give you challenges to make you want to give it up. Right? You keep on doing it, your ego gets that every time you get upset or afraid, you're going to go to the truth. Okay? So then the ego is going to change its tactic. Listen very carefully.
Okay?
And this is going to be a much tougher tactic. This tactic is going to be giving you all your fantasies to the point that you will be so lost in your fantasies that you won't have time to study anymore. You won't have time to read anymore. You won't have time to focus on any of this anymore. Because now you got that lover, and you got that money, and you got that trip. So you'll be lost in the illusion of your fantasies. And all of a sudden you won't have time to read anymore. While you're upset, you go to the book. Because you was desperate. Yeah. Now everything's going great. So you'll find it, I meant to come.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the temptation is going to be the temptation of you having your illusions fulfilled.
That's not even with the captain.
Yeah, yeah. That's the next level. So the next level is your ego trying to tempt you with giving you all your fantasies to the point that you lose awareness of your purpose. And that's a much tougher challenge than something going bad making me want to get relief. So I'm telling you, that's the next one.
I heard a quote the other day that said the devil's favorite disguise is God.
Mm-hmm.
And that reminds me of that quote. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Think about how many people who've been killed in the name of God, too.
Yeah.
You know, how many people judge because they think they're being spiritually right to judge somebody else. You know, it's like you said, the devil's favorite disguise. And the Course says that people come to a class like this and they'll see me as the devil in an angel's cloak.
Yeah.
He said that in the book. He said, just look at Rory. If you're talking about sinlessness and guiltlessness,
yeah,
he says, then you're going to be perceived by some people as the devil in the cloak of an angel because people believe in sin. And so if you say there's no sin, you are the devil.
Yeah.
That's the definition of the devil, is a guy that would say we're innocent, right? I think I can hit three of the main points here. So the Course in Miracles says that even though people accept the idea in theory that they kind of like create their own reality, he says, but they rarely apply it to all situations, even the ones who say they kind of believe it, like us, right? And he says, well, the way that you heal is the result of you recognizing who needs to be healed and what needs to be correctly perceived. He says, okay, so how do you, how do you bring about a healing? He said, you have to recognize what needs to be healed. He said, well, how do you do that? He said, it's true of everything here. Since if you want to have a healing, he said, you say everything here needs to be perceived correctly. That's too simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, how do I get past this whole dilemma of whether or not I create my illness or whether somebody else created it? Because an ego goes, if I got to see myself as creating everything, then I'll never get this. And he says, don't go there. Just tell yourself everything needs to be correctly perceived. Everything needs to be healed. That's what correct perception means. I need to apply the word of God to everything. Then he says in the next paragraph that whenever you fail to heal, he said, it's because you've forgotten who you are. I thought that was interesting. He said, if it looks like you're failing, it's only because you've forgotten that you are love. And so whenever you identify with another person's ego, that's the same as when I confuse you with just being a body, that's when I fail to heal. When I'm not willing to look at you all as being more than bodies and see you all as being spirit and see you as being love, he says, that's when I'm failing to heal. And he says, but guess what? I love this. He said, God did not create bodies. That's right there on that page. He said, your father did not create bodies. He says, so you're seeing in your brother only what's unreal.
What's the little number?
It's paragraph 5 on page 56, and the number is 5. Do you know why the Course says God didn't create bodies? It's real. It's not one of those things. It's so obvious that you miss it. It don't last.
It don't last,
though? So the ego created the body?
The mind created the body. The ego is what lives in the body. The ego is just we made up the ego and we made up the body. And so the Course says that, you know, we want to be separate. Because we can do anything. Okay, but you can't do anything. We can't change reality, but we can give ourselves any experience we want to. So we wanted to have the experience of being separate for whatever reason. Right? He said, well, you have to have something to be separate in. Right. So I'm a God child playing, right? Just like how we used to play as children. We had all our imaginary toys. Okay, just up that ante up a little bit. We're God children playing like we're bodies. But in order to make it real, we had to forget who we were. So now we're like the actors in the play who now think they are the actors and they've forgotten who they really are. Okay? So the mind made the body. But he says, but the minute that we got into this idea about guilt and fear, that's where the ego came from. That having a human experience could be a totally blissful, loving experience. There's nothing wrong with having a human experience. He says the challenge is that we brought fear into the human experience by forgetting who we are. And that's what the problem is coming from. The problem isn't coming from being a human being. The problem is coming from being a fearful human being. Which to me took a lot of pressure, because my ego had convinced me that the Course was like, you know, anti-body. You know, anti-human. You know, anti-person. Almost like you were a failure just because you had a body. You know, so that's what the ego does. And the Course is saying, no, that's not. I'm saying that the ego is fear. The ego is the guilt. The ego is the anger. The ego is the thinking you're separate. Get rid of that part. But your human experience is just another expression of yourself as a God being. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. If I could be human and feel innocent about it, the human experience would be incredible. It's the guilt that's getting us. Okay? Last two paragraphs. I think I can do the last two points. He says we can apply it to everybody no matter what. And if a person is sick, it's just because they see themselves as being separate from God or separate from the truth. He says, so your task is to heal the sense of separation that made him sick. In other words, he says, it's your function to recognize for the other person that what they believe isn't the truth. So if you walked around all day long and you internally disagreed with anything anybody said that was fearful or they were putting themselves down or seeing that they had some kind of a lack, if they were seeing themselves as separate, but you recognize that you're not separate, that you are innocent, regardless of what you're saying to me, I realize you're a spiritual being. He says, then that's how I heal. I heal by not seeing you the way you see you, but I see you the way the truth says I should see you, and that doesn't have anything to do with what I say to you. As a matter of fact, I could do it better if I didn't say anything to you. Because if I said something to you, you would want to defend. The average person would go, why do you say I'm not a body? What do you mean I am a body? What do you mean I'm innocent? No, I'm not. You don't really know the things that I did. You see what I'm saying? It's like the average person, if you say you're sinless, they'll say, no, I'm not. Or if you say you have no guilt, they would say, no, yes, I do. See, they would actually defend. But if you were sitting up there with them and you went, this is spirit, or this person is innocent, they just made a mistake, but you thought it, then you're healing your own mind.
So if my perception's off and I'm not seeing someone as a child of God,
uh-huh.
And I'm twisted,
right.
I'm causing myself to be sick because I'm not seeing that person as a child of God. I'm seeing them.
Right. Right.
That causes me not to heal because...
Yeah, that's causing you not to heal because it's reinforcing that erroneous idea in your own mind about yourself, too. Okay. See, if I don't see it in you, then my mind automatically feels like, well, it's a possibility, it might not be in me either.
Okay. So
Because you know what I'm saying? So, but don't feel guilty. Like when you say, okay, I'm making myself sick. Say that from the standpoint of, oh, okay, that could take my peace away. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set the goal of trying to see people correctly as much as I can. That's where you handle that. You go, I'm going to try to do the best I can. He already said it's rare if I can do it all the time. So I'm not going to beat myself up. But I'm going to try more and more to see people beyond where they see themselves. Okay? And then it says, the last paragraph, I love this. He says, one of the biggest mistakes we make is that we try to determine what can be healed and what can't be healed. Like, we'll say stuff like, you know, that person has leukemia, they're doomed to die. You know, we will limit what God can do. And so he's saying in this last paragraph, don't judge each other like that. Don't say that there's something that's going on that's beyond the power of God to heal. And the court says in one of the other parts of the book that the Spirit will send to you those who need you just the way you are. And I believe that that's the most important thought in the world as far as joining the right job, the right relationships, and everything. Because if I was to accept that God knows who would be the best person to come to my class and I trusted that, then I wouldn't have to worry about that. And so the right people show up, and the right people do show up, the people that I can share who I am with. Same thing about you as an artist. If you were to get that there are people out there who need art just the way you do it, and they get the spiritual healing to boot because you are becoming a conscious being, Spirit will send people to you because of your spirituality. More than it'll send people to you because of how good you paint. How good you paint is just a way to get people in your presence and to be connected to your energy. So if people put their spiritual purpose as their number one priority, then whatever they would do in the world would start to work smoother because the people would be sent to them so that they can fulfill their function. And in the process, your ego will feel like it's getting the money that it needs to pay its bills. And so your ego is no longer a problem because your ego is being taken care of. So the way you go beyond your ego is to take away your ego's needs. So if your ego needs companionship, give it to it. If your ego thinks it needs money, give it to it. You see what I'm saying? It's like the way you get rid of your ego is not by denying it. You get rid of your ego by letting go of the idea of lack. Because the ego is the idea of lack. So every time you let yourself have a good time, let yourself have prosperity, let yourself have abundance, you are undoing your ego every time you smile. Every time you feel good, that is the undoing of your ego. And people say, why can't I get rid of my ego? You do? Well, let yourself have a good life. Okay, that is getting rid of your ego. It's not starving your ego, beating your ego, judging your ego, forcing yourself not to do something because it's going to be, it's my ego. It's like giving yourself peace is undoing your ego. All right, I'm going to stop. Can we acknowledge us for hearing this much? You know.
Wow.
All my classes are being put online. And take one of these and pass it around if you don't mind for me. That's all they, I got 200 classes online now. They're available for download. You can listen to them online. And you can turn other people on to it. And so that's all the information about my website and what's on it. And I appreciate some of you who wouldn't mind doing it sometime. If you ever felt like supporting me in the form of...
Can we just take a couple of these?
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure. Sure can. And because I need your... I really would appreciate your help and appreciate your support. To get the word out about this. And so all the classes, most of the classes from 2005 and 2006, all of them online now. And then as I do these classes within a week, they're also up online. So when you subscribe to a membership to the site, you get access to all of those back classes as well as the classes in the future that's along the line of time that you subscribe. And so it's a lot cheaper than buying CDs individually here. And you get access to it wherever you have access to a computer. You have access to the classes no matter where you are. And so I would invite you to take advantage of that so you can hear this over and over again. Like what we said today, you know we could hear that over and over and over and over. We couldn't hear what we heard today too much. Because the temptation when we leave out is to go back to the old thought system. Thank you for sharing in the love offering, too. Let me pass this around. Yeah.
Yeah, I have an art show this Friday on the 9th.
that scared half to death, which makes me think of my body even more. But if I'm at home, kicked back, then I'm not thinking about my body. So I grow spiritually. So, yeah.
Once you get your, like those, if I click on, once
you're
figured out.
No, it's not until you subscribe that you get access to the classes. So
if
you know,
I click on this bottom on any one of these, and I get all those.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the difference is the length of time. Like it's cheap in the long run, because like if you get a 1 year subscription, then you're getting all the classes that are that I'm going to do for the next year,
yeah,
as well as the archives.
Then if I get a month, then I get all the archives
right
in a month.
Right. Oh, right. Cool. The archives come in either way it goes. Which that's what I'm telling. That's what I was saying to people. They were really sincere about really wanting to get the classes here. Because I'm here, and even though that's great, if people that come to the class here do it, it's really about the people that I'm going to meet in other places, and for them to still have access to what's going on when I come there and speak and leave and go different places, and that's what I'm really excited about. Because a prophet is least honored in his own hometown among his own people. That's just what time it is, you know, about that, you know, But I know that it's part of the divine plan for my life right now. I can't explain how much I realize that this is all part of some greater unfoldment that's happening in my life right now. Because there are major changes going on with me emotionally and mentally that I can't even verbalize. So it's something big happening, you know. And I'm really curious to see where it's going to go. Mm-hmm.
The gift of your teaching, but also the that opportunity, but I've listened to some of your CDs I don't know how many times, and at some point awareness becomes mine.
Thank you.
And I cannot tell you what a gift that is.
Thank you.
Thank you. See, that makes me want to do it more. You know what I'm saying? Because I realize the same thing, that the power of accepting the truth has to do with remembering it. Most people think that the power of accepting the truth has to come with understanding it and analyzing it. But that's not what it's about. It's really just about not forgetting it. And when you listen to it over and over again, sooner or later, it clicks. And then when it clicks, you get that, and then your reality shifts. And that comes from hearing it over. Just like I don't breathe one time a day. I can't hear the truth one time a day. But people want to do it that way. They want to hear the truth once and then have a life of total bliss. Just like you can breathe once in the morning for the rest of the day. You can't. You breathe all day long. And that's why I look at this stuff. It's like, okay, Earl, you need to remember all day long to stop leaving people out. It's just about you accepting it for yourself. You know, don't keep yourself in pain when you can alleviate pain. Alleviate the pain as fast as you possibly can. Remember who that person is, even if they're talking crazy and they don't know who they are. Your job is to remember it for them. You know what I'm saying? I need to remember that, because when I'm in that situation, my temptation is to be Earl, the human being, and learn what other human beings learned. And then get mad, get upset, feel separate, you know, all that stuff. So we're really blessed. We're blessed beyond our wildest dreams. And I'm blessed to have you among my wildest dreams. So thanks for coming today. Yeah, you are blessings in my life. I'm telling you. I'm so glad I got sense enough to realize it. I remember I had beautiful people in my life, and I was so caught up in my own stuff, I didn't even see what was in front of my face. Because I was looking for what was missing. Always what was lacking. Never seeing what was right there in front of me. So I'm proud of that much about me.